This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. I don't know if you are a TikToker, Howard.
No.
I am not. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to admit to that. And I know that TikTok has its own set of issues and challenges, controversies surrounding it. But it clearly is a very influential platform, no matter what you think about it. And the latest group of people to have discovered this and to be utilizing TikTok in order to be out there and to influence are Israeli doctors and medical professionals. Okay. There are quite a number of them who seem to have taken TikTok by storm, each of them doing something slightly different. So, for example, we've got Edna Tokarev, who is a registered nurse and a nursing counselor. She's also a pediatric intensive care specialist. Apparently, she has something like 61,000 followers on TikTok, and she just shares videos from her workplace. She just uses social media in order to send messages about some of the things that go on in her regular work day. We've got Dr. Chen Weiss, who is a dentist, and he just shares tips on teeth whitening and how to choose the right toothbrush and things like that. We have Elor Sa'at, who's a medical student in the gynecology department at Kaplan Medical Center, and he is trying to educate his 13,000 followers on different diseases and medications, puts a slightly humorous spin onto what he broadcasts. We've got Dr. Tzachi Shelkovich, who's a dermatologist, and he does aesthetic treatments for wrinkles and things like that, and he just uses he also apparently has some sort of a hair loss protocol, for which for people like me is a little bit too late in the day, but he does give tips about how to avoid hair loss and treating skin dehydration and acne and things like that. So this has become an amazing tool for professionals who once upon a time were relatively conservative in the way that they did their advertising and the way that they addressed the general public. These days we have a new generation of medical professionals who are also TikTokers. What do you guys think about that?
That is so interesting that, it's really fascinating. And I guess doing good work, because if they are educating people about medical, medically related issues, then that's great. Find people where they are, not where you want them to be.
And also giving a little bit of an insight into what goes down in their work environment, the nursing teams getting through the corona pandemic and stuff like that. Just giving a little bit of an insight into some of the stresses that go on, sharing it, being a little humorous perhaps, but also educating people about something that was previously unknown to the general public.
Absolutely. So yesterday's story was a massive one, or is a massive one, and that is that the High Court of Justice ruled that it is unreasonable for Aryeh Deri to be to serve as a government minister. Wow. Where to from here?
Unreasonable in the extreme was the way that the court decided, and this was an almost unanimous decision of the a full bench of the High Court of Justice, 10-1 in favor of effectively ruling Aryeh Deri out as a minister in the government. Now, so many things to talk about where the story is concerned. Not that it has come unexpectedly. I mean, for many of us, including me, I was anticipating that this would happen. And of course, we've seen in the days leading up to this decision that there's been brinkmanship on both sides. The High Court has been challenged publicly to stand up and make a statement. We've seen Shas supporters coming out saying the High Court will shoot itself in the head if it decides to rule Aryeh Deri out. Well, I mean, there's some intimidation tactics that have been going on in order to really force the High Court to come out and show itself as to what it really is and what it really believes. And the question is whether some of that might not have influenced the court to say, we are not going to be detracted, we are not going to be influenced or intimidated by some of these actions that are going on out there. Of course, the reactions have been somewhat predictable, but let's have a look at the situation and see. Apparently, what the High Court decided was that because Aria Dery had been convicted of bribery in 1999. He'd served jail time. He required a 7-year withdrawal from public life for moral turpitude and was only then grudgingly permitted by the court to eventually return to ministerial office after all of that. Then he was convicted of tax fraud and he negotiated a plea bargain which allowed him a suspended sentence. And here is where the little wrinkle in the story is, that when the Jerusalem Magistrates Court agreed that suspended sentence, which is about a year ago, it was clearly understood by the court that Dery would be retiring from public life. That was the way things were presented in the court, and that certainly influenced the High Court of Justice's decision when they said that effectively he had misled the court at that time when the plea bargain was entered into, because quite a strong case for that plea bargain was the fact that he was just going to disappear and that he wasn't going to try and take on public office after that event. And here we have now a situation a year later where he has been appointed as the Minister of the Interior and the Minister of Health, and the High Court has taken an extremely dim view on the fact that this was effectively misleading the court when that plea bargain was entered into. More than that, the court was quite critical of the Prime Minister and found that the Prime Minister had contradicted the fundamental principles that should guide a Prime Minister in appointing his cabinet because of the history of the man who's been appointed to a senior position in the government. So those were some of the things that came out of the court's judgment yesterday. The reaction by the Prime Minister, he got into his car and he drove across Jerusalem to Aria Dery's house in Har Nof to go and visit him and to sympathize with him on the judgment of the court. And he made a public statement saying that when a brother is in trouble, you go and support him. That was the statement of the Prime Minister in light of the court's decision. Of course, supporters outside Aria Dery's house yesterday, last night, shouting all kinds of insults about the court decision and supporting Aria Dery. And of course, a lot of people coming out saying that what the court has effectively done here is cancelled the vote of 400,000 people who voted for Shas in the general election and whose votes are now effectively being set aside by a court judgment, a court which has not been elected. And of course, everybody likes to rush to make that statement to make it clear that this is an unelected body that is making a judgment on somebody who's been directly elected by the general public. 400,000 people in total apparently voted for Shas. And so the statement was that those 400,000 people, their vote is effectively being cancelled by us. Interestingly, Dery.
Well, is that the case? I mean, surely they are interpreting the law. They're not just deciding what is reasonable or not reasonable. They should be looking at it from a legal perspective, surely.
Well, I don't know if there is a legal precedent or any law that they can point to which will influence their judgment. I don't think that this is necessarily an interpretation of law. I think that this is the classic reasonableness test, which the government has already said is unreasonable, to have a reasonableness test that the court can use to interpret how they will draw their judgment. And Yariv Levine was very clear in making that point when he announced the judicial reform, saying that, you know, he quickly learned that there's nothing reasonable to base your judgment on. But, you know, the point is that I think that there are many reasonable people, whatever, however you like to interpret that, who would look at the appointment of Aria Dery and say, this is a person who is a criminal. He has a criminal record, and yet he's being appointed to a very senior position. How reasonable is that appointment? Now, you know,
I'm certainly not supportive of Aria Dery and his appointment to government. I think it's completely absurd. But surely those that are saying that the Supreme Court is overstepping its mark here or its boundaries have a point. Because even if it's unreasonable, even if I think it's completely outrageous, let's assume I was an Israeli voter and I didn't vote for him, I voted for somebody else. Surely the fact that if it isn't illegal for him as a convicted criminal or somebody with a criminal record to have been elected, if it's not illegal, then is it for the Supreme Court to determine otherwise? Isn't their point, the point of Netanyahu's government, valid in saying that effectively the Supreme Court is running the country and not the people of the country?
Well, I think the key point of law here really revolves around this fact that he seems to have misled the court when that plea bargain was entered into, because the court has found that if the court at that stage a year ago, the magistrates' court in Jerusalem, understood that Derry had intended to return to public life, they may well have made a different judgment on the issue of the suspended sentence and the plea bargain.
So that's the point of law. But that is a point of law then. You know, then it is, there is a point of law that they're ruling on.
I think that is really the point of law, but they did make the statement that they found the appointment to be unreasonable in the extreme. Mm. And it's quite interesting how the fact that there was one dissenting judge on the bench of the main court, and this is a judge who comes from an Iraqi background, and of course this has given rise to the whole racial split down the middle, where the Shas party clearly represent people from a Middle Eastern background, Jews from a Middle Eastern background. Many of the Likud voters are people who come from a Middle Eastern background. Sephardi Jews, Mizrahi Jews, call them as you wish. They have this axe to grind against the Supreme Court, who they think represent the Ashkenazi elite. The fact that the court, the bench of the court, was also split with the judge who comes from a Middle Eastern background dissenting. Not that he disagreed with the rest of the judges, but he simply thought that the way to deal with this should be to refer the case back to the head of the Electoral Commission, who should decide on this rather than have the judges of the High Court of Justice decide. So there was a slight split, and of course this has given rise to a huge split down the Ashkenazi Sephardi divide, Mizrahi Jews versus the Ashkenazi so-called elite, who they claim are really influencing the High Court decision on this. So very, very controversial. And what will happen from here is really unclear, because it seems from the Prime Minister's actions yesterday by going to support his brother and turning up at Derry's home immediately after the judgment, that he doesn't intend to fire Arya Derry from the government as a result of this court decision. Arya Derry clearly has no intention of resigning from his position, as was already stated on a few occasions. So what happens now? Do we have the standoff situation where the court has made a very clear ruling and a very clear judgment that this appointment is not okay, and nobody actually will take action to put the court's decision in place? And of course, Yair Lapid, who's the head of the opposition, has already made a statement saying that this government will be an illegal government if it does not adhere to the ruling of the High Court, which of course they're trying to weaken the power of in the process of things. This is really the crux of the whole issue about judicial reform, and this really brings the whole thing to a head in terms of what we do now and what the government, because the government on the one hand is saying this is not a decision that the High Court should make and we're going to change that during the course of our term in office. And yet the court has made the decision and is forcing the government to take a stand on what they're going to do next.
Either way, it is very, very worrying, because it really can go in any direction. Fine, we don't have a lot of time, but I'm just interested in this story. The UK Labour Party is considering the removal of the recognition of a Palestinian state from their platform.
Yeah, so this is just a little story that's come out, and of course Keir Starmer now, Sir Keir Starmer, who is the head of the Labour Party, is trying his very, very best to make the Labour Party look electable at the next election, with the Conservatives obviously having suffered a huge setback over the last little while. And he thinks that he could bring the Labour Party into government. And one of the things he's trying to do is to tailor the platform to make it look more appealing to the British voters. And as part of that process, apparently they are considering the removal of something that's been on their platform already for some years, which is the immediate approval of a potential Palestinian state if the Labour Party is in government. Now, I don't think the Labour Party are necessarily changing their mind about this. I think that they would still be inclined to recognise a Palestinian state if it was come into being. But I think that what they're trying to do is just to focus their platform a little more on internal issues rather than to be focused on things which the British electorate right now don't care that much about. They care much more about healthcare and schooling and issues that are very much domestic. Inflation and things like that, and the recognition of the Palestinian state seems remote. Ironically, and I know we're a little late, but ironically, the person who was the one who put it onto the platform of the British Labour Party in the first place was the former leader, Ed Miliband, he, of course, being Jewish. Both of his parents Jewish, and he's Jewish, the former leader of the Labour Party. He was the one who made sure that this was on the platform.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Fascinating, fascinating conversations. We'll catch you on Monday morning. Hope you have a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.